Holiday magic is in the air, and DSW's got all the shoes to make your season extra merry. Believe, you've got parties to attend and lists to check twice, so DSW is taking care of the details, like gifts to make their eyes all aglow, styles that bring joy to your world, brands everyone wants, like UGG, Nike, Birkenstock, and more, and deals to make your budget bright. Find the perfect shoes for you and yours at a DSW store near you or DSW.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Uh-oh, George, what you know about this? What you know about this, George?
Let's not talk about that. That's not what we're here for.
What you know about this, George? Oh, my God. This, I will never forget the chokehold this song and Grills had on people my age. Elementary school Connor was going crazy to Usher and Nelly back in the day. Unbelievable song. Incredible song. Has aged like the best thing that has possibly aged. I don't know. I don't have an example. But every single day on the Gabe Kuhn Show, we do the Blitz. We're going to do it right now. And as always, the Blitz is brought to you by Sissy's Log Cabin. George, what you got for me?
Dan Campbell's fourth down gambles helped the Lions beat the Packers 34-31 and clinch a playoff spot. Set a franchise record for 11 straight wins.
Dan freaking Campbell. Dan Campbell gambles all the time, and it always seems to pay off for him. Detroit went for it on fourth down for a fifth time to set up Jake Bates's 35-yard field goal as time expired. Jared Goff threw three touchdown passes, and the Lions clinched a playoff spot with a 34-31 victory over the Green Bay Packers on Thursday night. I don't know if you saw this either. We have new Coach of the Year odds, and I've been saying it all year when we've been talking about Coach of the Year in the NFL. I understand the arguments for a guy like Dan Quinn. I get it. The Commanders were in the dumpster. And then this year, they're a good football team. Just a solid, good football team. A lot of it has to do with Jaden Daniels. A lot of it has to do with health. A lot of it has to do with new ownership. But Dan Quinn's a big part of that. Big part of that. But you cannot tell me there is a more valuable coach in the NFL in terms of what he does for his team than Dan Campbell. The entire team's identity is Dan Campbell. Dragging people into the ocean and drowning them. Biting kneecaps off. Real passion. Mike Tomlin, I think he may be able to argue he could be a little bit more valuable, but he's not going to win Coach of the Year. He might be in the running. Probably should be.
Should be. They've been better than expected.
When you look across the league and players buying into an identity, buying into their coach, you look no further than Dan Campbell. He's at the very top of that list. And that is why today I was pleased to see that he is minus 200 to win Coach of the Year. I can't believe he hasn't won one yet. D'Amico Ryan, unbelievable job last year with the Texans. I have no problem with that. But Dan Campbell deserves a Coach of the Year award. He gives some of the best speeches I've ever heard in my entire life. And last night, we got an all-timer in the locker room. After that huge win, he gambled. I think he was the first NFL coach since 2000 to go for it on fourth down in opponent territory within the final minute of a game.
When tied.
Balls of steel.
Just. And this, you said all-timer. This is an all-timer.
Yeah. I mean, this. Listen to this. And if you're driving, you may need to pull over because your foot's just going to hit the throttle when you hear this. So please, safety warning for everybody. We're about to play the speech that Dan Campbell had last night. Safety warning. Please pull over. Stay safe. Gah! Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I think one of my favorite things about Dan Campbell is he does the, he'll say freaking, and then just drop like four F-bombs after it. It's like, hey man, just say it.
You're going to say it again.
Just do it. I find it so endearing. But how can you not listen to that and tell me he's not the coach of the year? I asked you this before the show. Is Dan Campbell the most likable coach in sports?
He very well might be. I can't think of anyone else right now off the top of my head that is as likable as Dan Campbell. Even just now, after listening to that for the 15th time today, I'm ready to run through
it. It's my new alarm clock.
It'll get you going.
I'm going to wake up to it every morning.
I don't know if the wife will enjoy that, but, you know.
She'll get used to it.
Might get her amped up for the
Maybe
job.
So. Yeah. Yeah, go get help out all sack St. Jude. Yeah, we'll get it hyped up to go help out St. Jude every single morning. No, it's he is an electric factory. And I think my favorite thing about him is, yes, he takes risks. And he puts his teams in positions to win. He's great defensively. He allows Ben Johnson to take over the offense. He doesn't even try to mess with it. He knows what his bread and butter is. It's the passion you hear in his voice, though. Just right there, you could hear it. It was shaky. He almost got emotional. He's gotten emotional a lot. And I know this is a bit corny, but there's something about when you see someone talking about something that they love. You see that light in their eyes. You see that fire in their chest. He's got it. I'd follow that man into hell. He's turned the whole country into Detroit Lions fans. People like to say the Dallas Cowboys are America's team. No, sir. No, ma'am. The Detroit Lions are America's team now.
As they very well should be.
This
is a franchise that has been mired in disappointment and...
laughingstock. They were a laughingstock when he took over. He was made fun of when they took over. Dan Campbell?
Who's this?
Who's Dan Campbell? Why? Biting kneecap? What's happening? Who? Jamar Gibbs? Who? Why? Why then? Campbell then? Why? No, he knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. And he has changed the fortunes of that franchise. He deserves all the credit in the world. Now, I'm going to let you cook here for a second. Because it is funny, too. The Detroit Lions have gotten so good at football. You know, franchise record winning streak, clinched a playoff. A lot of people think that they could win the Super Bowl this year. It is very funny now to see people complaining on social media about calls that the Detroit Lions are getting. The Detroit Lions. We've gotten to that point to where, Oh, it's unfair advantage for the Lions. The whistle goes their way. I don't know. Learn the rules, maybe?
Yeah, there were a couple instances last night, too, in crunch time, mind you. Tight game. It was a three-point game. I don't know if the Jared Goff one was during the last drive. It might have been a little bit earlier on. But there was a play where Jared Goff hands off the ball to his running back with his knee on the ground because he tripped over an offensive lineman. And people are saying, well, why wasn't he called down? This isn't college.
Nobody touched him.
No one touched him. His own player touched him. That's perfectly fine. That's okay. No problem. And the other one for me was a push-off from Amon-Ra St. Brown.
When he took that guy's head off?
When he's just stronger.
Yeah.
Just stick to him better.
Get in the weight room, buddy.
There was no push-off. It was chest to chest.
I saw somebody try to argue that Jared Goff was the same thing as a team taking a knee at the end of the game. What are you talking about?
Huh?
What? He fell down when he was trying to hand the ball off. He's not giving himself up. What are y'all talking about?
That's ridiculous. That's worse.
I don't know if I've ever seen a community note on a Detroit Lions thing because people have it incorrect. I promise y'all, the Detroit Lions aren't getting the whistle, especially when they're playing a team like the Green Bay Packers.
Come on.
Come on.
Ridiculous. A source tells On3 Sports that Oklahoma State has offered Mike Gundy a reduced contract that would come with assurances that he would go all in on NIL, excuse me. The dollar saved on his contract would be put towards NIL revenue sharing. If Gundy does not agree, however, Oklahoma State will terminate his existing deal and launch a head coaching search. Can I add on to this a little bit?
Sure.
Because this is something that I heard earlier with Jeffrey and Tim Murray in the earlier show. Supposedly, as part of the new offer deal, it would also limit Gundy's autonomy in hiring his coordinators.
When you see something wild, as you were reading that, guess what news just broke?
Is he fired?
It is confirmed that Mike Gundy will not be signing the deal with Oklahoma State.
I am so surprised.
Now, I asked Jeffrey Wright about this between shows. It's confusing. What cause do they have? Is it skeletons in the closet that they're going to bring to light because they want to fire him? I don't really understand it.
That part doesn't make sense to me either.
Am I a huge fan of Mike Gundy? No.
I think he's a good
coach. Do I think he's a good football coach? Yes. Is this a weird decision by Oklahoma State? Yes. I don't understand it. I don't understand it. The firing caught. If you went to him and said, hey, man, we want to make sure you get as many resources as you possibly can with NIL, would you be willing to restructure your contract? He may have said yes. I feel like, though, saying you either restructure your contract or we're firing you for cause, he was like, good luck. See you in court, buddy. I don't understand this decision from Oklahoma State. I don't get it.
We talked about it earlier as well, or I say we, but I listened to Jeffrey and Tim talk about it. Do you know what his buyout clause is, like the number on his clause?
I do not.
25.5.
Oh, wow.
Mil, which is high. Let's not get that twisted. But there have been coaches that have been let go and owed a heck of a lot more and have done a heck of a lot less with more. Looking at you, Jimbo.
So I'm still trying to find like confirmation that he's not going to take the contract, but there are reports coming out.
Would it surprise you at all? I mean, just the fact that he's going to have limited autonomy over his roster, over his coordinators, even at the benefit of having more resources for players, you're neutering your head coach.
It's very odd. I can see one side of the argument because Oklahoma State fans, I think, have the idea in their head that he is not recruiting well anymore. He doesn't have the juice for it anymore like he used to. But you're routinely in conversation for the title, for the conference title. You win a lot of football games.
Maybe not this year, but in general.
In general, you've won a lot of football games. Like, here's his record. Just the last few years. Like, they're 3-9 this year. He was 10-4 last year, though. 12-2 the year before, like 2 years ago. And he basically gets you to 7 or 8 wins every single year. He'll pop off for 10, 12 every once in a while. I don't understand this decision. He's maximized your roster in moments when it hasn't been a very good roster. Now, I guess you could point the finger and say, well, why isn't it a good roster? Is that Mike Gundy's fault? This just felt a little aggressive to a coach that's given you damn near 20 years as your football coach, if not 20 years. How long has he been there?
He's been there quite a while.
Since 2005, almost 20 years.
Yeah, 19.
And this is how you treat him at the end? Leaves a bad taste in my mouth. I don't necessarily disagree with the decision of trying to restructure his contract so that you can get NIL funds. This is the same university that is trying to put QR codes on the back of players' helmets to help get money for NIL. They're trying to get creative. I get it. I just don't know if that creativity should lead to you to having a standoff with a coach that's given you 19 years. Seems a bit aggressive. I don't like the way this is ending. I'm curious to see what happens with Oklahoma State, especially with some of the names that we've seen floating around college football recently. Do they call one of them and say, hey, you want to come down to Oklahoma State, coach this football team? But, man, this is going to be a mess. It's going to be a mess. If he doesn't take it, it's going to be a mess. If he does take it, it's going to be contentious.
Either way, the big thing for me with that is when they do have to do the head coaching search, who's going to take that and essentially say, well, we know what this upper management is going to be able to do or want to do at some point.
My question would be, are you going to get better than Mike Gundy at Oklahoma State? He has a higher winning percentage in games than any other active Big 12 coach.
Probably not.
So are you going to do better than that? I don't know. If you're already having NIL issues, are you going to be able to get those players anyway? Is it just his contract that's holding you back?
I doubt it.
It's going to be really interesting to see. Coming up next, though, we got to get to championship weekend. Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports, the best in the game. We'll have some picks for you on the other side. You're listening to Connor Dunning on the Gabe Kuhn Show on 929 FM ESPN. Stick around. Welcome back to the Gabe Kuhn Show. This is Connor Dunning filling in for Gabe Kuhn while the big man is out. Real quick, updates on the Mike Gundy situation. Dylan Buckingham in Oklahoma is reporting that he has told Mike Gundy wants more time to ponder the situation. It's unclear if the Board of Regents are willing to give him that time. So that is why we may be getting reports that he potentially turned that down, but it sounds like he just wants some more time. I hope they give him more time. But now it is time to make you all some money, because I'm now joined by the best in the business. He is Lee Sterling for Paramount Sports and the Locked On Gambling Network, the number one documented capper for football, MLB, basketball, UFC, and NHL. You can find him on Twitter at Paramount Sports. Lee, how's it going?
I'm good. So is Gabe had enough of waking up middle of night for these middle of the night feedings yet?
Yeah, so I got a chance to see Gabe today, okay. And the big man looks tired, but he's saying that luckily so far it seems like Myers is sleeping through the night. So it's been going well. It's been going well over there. So he's not too terribly tired. But Lee, before we jump into all the picks, can you let the listeners know where they can find you?
Just go to the website, ParamountSports.com. We do it all, football, basketball, hockey, and UFC. So thinking of coming on board, we're probably about as honest as you can be. We actually had a rough first couple weeks in November. Some services out there tell you they win every week. It can't be done. But we did win big in September and October. And since Thanksgiving Day, we're on a 16-3 run. So if you're looking for someone that puts in the work, former college quarterback, I study these games. I work probably 85, 90 hours a week this time of year. Looking to give me a shot, we have what's called the Double Down December. You can get every game from tomorrow all the way through December 31st. That's 4 weeks of action, just $247. Use coupon code SAVE200, or if you want to try us out for the UFC, we rate our selections from 10 to 50 units, and we have a rare 50-unit max wager going out for tomorrow night in the UFC pay-per-view card, and 21-6 on our 40 to 50-unit max wagers in the UFC. So those five selections, just $55. Check everything out, ParamountSports.com.
First game up, 7 o'clock, Tulane at Army. Right now, Tulane's a 5-point favorite.
So this is an interesting game. A lot of people don't realize this, but their staff at Troy played Army twice last 2 years. And what did they do? Held them to 0 and 9 points. So they know how to teach defending the option. I just don't know where Tulane is. I mean, mentally, after having a shot, maybe getting into the college football playoff, being knocked out by Memphis, and now they got to go. It's going to be like high 20s, low 30s tonight, and winds. And I've been there. I've been to Mikey Stadium. It is cold, 15 to 25 miles per hour. So, you know, when you got to tackle in the cold, that's something different. And but on the other side, Army 5-8 against the spread as a home dog under Jeff Monken as their head coach here. I think both these teams are going to run the ball a lot. I'm going to go with the under. I think the better play here is under 45.5 total points.
All right, next up we got Oregon and Penn State. Huge game. Doesn't really have college football playoff implications other than seeding, but right now it looks like Oregon is a 3-point favorite.
So can you imagine if you were a Penn State player last week, you're settling in, you're going to watch the Ohio State-Michigan game, and you know, just watching, probably, obviously you're rooting for Michigan, but you really don't think they have a chance.
Right.
Or, you know, if you're running around doing errands and you hear that Michigan's in the game or they're leading, I think they're playing with house money. They would have been probably the 5th to 6th seed if they weren't in the Big Ten championship game. As long as they don't lose this game by double digits, I think they're still going to be the 5th or 6th seed, so there's no pressure at all. It's going to be like a home game. Yeah, I mean, Oregon's got to travel 3 time zones, and we've seen what's going on in the Big Ten play this year. Teams traveling 2 or more time zones, hitting only 35% of their games against the spread. I know about James Franklin, 1-16 straight up, 5-12 against the spread here against top 5 opponents in his history. So that can't be discounted, but Penn State outperformed Oregon against most of their common opponents with better margin of victories against Wisconsin, Maryland, Washington, and Purdue. And except for passing offense, Penn State actually has edges here against this Oregon team if you look at their numbers. I think the Ducks are going to be out of water. This line should be like -1 to 1.5, not 3.5 here. So we'll say Ducks out of water in Indianapolis. Wrong team favored. Penn State outright 27-23.
Now the next game you've got, it has massive, massive college football playoff implications. Number 17, Clemson at number 8, SMU. Right now, SMU is a 2-point favorite.
Yeah, I mean, if we end up seeing Clemson win the game and it's a close game and it's an exciting game, I think we're going to see SMU in the college football playoff. I really do. And they could bump Alabama. So this game might have the most intrigue, whereas the other game, if Oregon wins, they could be a 5 seed. That actually might work out better for them by having a better draw. So the last 4 games that Cade Klubnik played in against average to above average teams, and I'm talking about Pitt, Virginia Tech, Louisville, and South Carolina, he only threw the ball for 6 yards per pass attempt. If you spread that out over the season, that's bottom 15. I mean, that's right there with teams like Rice, Sam Houston State, and UConn. A lot of people don't even know the name of SMU's quarterback. I mean, and a lot of people follow college football. I bet you less than 15% of the people could tell you his name who follow college football. Kevin Jennings has thrown for 9.3 yards per pass attempt this year. Love his coach. I think he understands offensive football. Since week 4, when he became the starter, they put up between 28 and 66 points in all those games. They've won 9 straight games, him and the starter here. I think their defense is a little salty here, giving up just 13 points combined the last 2 weeks in games against Virginia and Cal. I think the right team's favorite. I'm going with SMU, 28-24. Bye-bye, Clemson.
Biggest game of the weekend in Atlanta. You have the SEC championship game, Georgia number 5 versus number 2, Texas. Right now, it looks like Texas is a 2-point favorite.
Yeah, Texas was out physical that first game against Georgia. I mean, I don't see, though, the Bulldogs pulling the Longhorns here, especially after watching that game last week with Texas dominating Texas A&M on the offensive and defensive line. So I think Texas learned their lesson. They're playing at a high level now. I know Georgia's at home playing in Atlanta, but their offense and defense, you can go back a decade. This is the first time. Neither is in the top 25 in any major statistical category.
Oh, wow.
I mean, you watch them play this year, and they're just not close to the teams that won national championships. They should have lost the game to Georgia Tech. If Texas would have won the game, and you just look at the way the game was played, they should have won that game last week over A&M. Shouldn't have been 17-7. It should have been like 30-3, 34-7. If they had won the game by 20-plus points, this line would be 5.5, 6 points. Now, we do know that Quinn Ewers is not 100%, but he will play. I think that they're going to expand the use of Arch Manning here. I think he's going to play 20-plus percent of the snaps here. They're going to show in some new wrinkles. The favorite, 25-6 straight up in SEC championship games. Like I said, outside of playing in Atlanta, I don't see an edge that Georgia has. I think Texas gets their revenge 31-23 over Georgia.
Wow, 25-6 as a straight-up favorite, that's a big number right there. And then your free play of the week, returning to the NFL for this one, Minnesota at Atlanta. Right now it looks like Minnesota is a 5-point favorite.
Yep, they are. And what's interesting about this game here is it's a revenge game for Kirk Cousins. So you want to find out, I mean, there's been some great performances the last couple weeks. Jerry Jeudy on Monday night, the Browns returning. He went back to Denver, and boy, did he did a number there. Leonard Williams and Geno Smith went back to Jersey against the Jets on Sunday. Can Kirk Cousins make it 3-for-3? You want to get this game for free? Be one of the first 5 callers. Call 800-400-9741. Again, the number, 800-400-9741, to get Minnesota and Atlanta on me, and check out all the specials in the UFC, football, hockey. We're on a 21-5 run in hockey, basketball, 16-8 run there. So check everything out. Love to have you aboard. Give us a shot. ParamountSports.com.
Yes, sir. Lee, I wish you the best of luck this weekend, my friend.
Sounds good. Take care. Be safe.
Yes, sir. That was Lee Sterling from Paramount Sports. He is the #1 documentary capper for football, MLB, basketball, UFC, and NHL. You can find him on Twitter at Paramount Sports. When we come back, we're going to wrap up the show with an extended small talk. Stay right here on 99 FM ESPN. Welcome back to the Gabe Kuhn Show. This is Connor Dunning filling in for Gabe Kuhn until he is back. We need to talk about Nikola Jokic. And I know that y'all know how good of a basketball player Nikola Jokic is. But do you really know how good of a basketball player he is? Last night, Nikola Jokic passed Magic Johnson for 3rd on the triple doubles list. Magic Johnson, point guard. Nikola Jokic, center, passed him on the triple doubles list. Absolutely insane. Here are some stats for you when it comes to Nikola Jokic. By the way, The only two players ahead of him now in the triple-doubles race, Russell Westbrook has 200. Oscar Robertson has 181. Jokic, 139. Magic Johnson, 138. LeBron James, 118. Jason Kidd, 107. Then, finally, you get another center. Wilt Chamberlain had 78. Nikola Jokic is doing Wilt Chamberlain stuff in the year of our Lord, 2024. Here's how good Nikola Jokic is and why he is the clear MVP at this point in the season. Most valuable player. Most valuable. Here's his value. When Jokic is on the court, the Denver Nuggets, first in offensive rating, first in net rating, first in field goal percentage, first in three-point percentage. By the way, you know what he's shooting from three, George?
Probably at a pretty high clip, if I had to
52%.
That's...
shocking. What the hell?
Whoa.
First, assist-to-turnover ratio when he's on the court. Nikola Jokic off the court. 30th offensive rating. 29th net rating. 30th in field goal percentage. 28th in three-point percentage. 28th in assist-to-turnover ratio. There is not a single player in the NBA that is more valuable to their basketball team than Nikola Jokic. This season, he is a career high in points at 30.1. Second career high. Rebounds per game, 13. A career high in assists per game, 10.4. He is averaging 30, 13, and 10 as a center in the NBA this season. It's going to get interesting here soon. I've had this conversation with friends off mic. Gabe and I have briefly talked about it on mic. People in the top 10 are going to start hearing footsteps soon. And those footsteps belong to Shrek. And Shrek happens to be able to put the ball in the hoop whenever he wants to.
We talked about it off air, like during the show, and it was, don't say anything crazy on air.
Oh, calling him Shrek is crazy? That's like his nickname. Everybody calls him Shrek.
I don't think I've heard anyone call him Shrek.
Oh, where have you been? Where have you been? You're not in the circles that I'm in on Twitter.
I'm not in the Nikola Jokic is an ogre Twitter spaces.
Are you kidding me? Have you ever seen a picture of Nikola Jokic?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I understand he's a...
It's not an insult. It's a compliment.
We do love Shrek around here.
Remember, 90s kid. Shrek?
Shrek's great.
I hold a high regard.
As we all should.
Hold to a very high regard.
As we all should.
But I'm being serious. Like, I'm not sure he's going to get another ring with the Nuggets right now, how they're constructed. Jamal Murray has one leg right now, and he's super up and down. Aaron Gordon's their second most important player. He's been very good for them, but their bench is awful. 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 To be honest, their owner, after they won that ring, got really cheap and refused to pay the best players that he should have. They let KCP walk. They let Bruce Brown walk. Now you're relying on Christian Brown, who has had a good season, but you know he's finally come back to earth after shooting basically 50% from three for the first 10 games of the season. They've got a lot of issues. I don't know if he's going to be able to get another ring in Denver, but I think he's going to get his fourth MVP. I think he's going to get four MVPs, which puts him in rare territory.
I just had to double check myself because I was 90% sure. Now I'm 100% sure. Would it shock you? Like, do you know who owns the Nuggets?
Isn't it the same guy that owned the Rams?
Owns the Rams.
Yep.
Yes, Stan Kroenke.
Yep.
I was going to say, would that shock you at all that he all of a sudden gets a title and then just completely ignores the team, really?
So Nikola Jokic, he's just in rare territory now. When you talk about him, you have to bring up Bill Russell. You have to bring up Wilt Chamberlain. You got to bring up Larry Bird, Michael Jordan, LeBron James. He's in that group of people. Shaq, Kobe, Steph, Moses Malone, Hakeem. He's approaching that territory. He is far and away the best basketball player on the planet right now. I understand the arguments for a guy like Giannis. He's having an unbelievable season in Milwaukee. Probably the second in MVP right now, if you had to vote. They're on a 9-1 their last 10. They've really turned it around. But to be honest, the reason they've turned it around is because Giannis said, I'm going to put this team on my back, and he's basically dropping 50 a game. It's insane to see what he's doing right now. But he's not as valuable as Nikola Jokic is to the Denver Nuggets.
No, the Nuggets right now, without Jokic, they are historically bad. With Jokic, they are almost tops in the NBA in almost every offensive category. And for all the commentary that we've heard over the years about Jokic and how, oh, he doesn't play good enough defense, things like that, in a way, he's playing defense by scoring so much and by providing so much offense for the rest of that team. I don't know off the top of my head. Do you know their record with and without him?
Jokic?
Yeah.
They probably, I know that they won a game.
I know of one, a singular one. I don't know about any others off the top of my head.
I don't, not off the top of my head. I know that they beat the Grizzlies without him.
Well, for some reason, that was a masterclass by Russell Westbrook, which, you know, he's been a bench contributor for them this season. He's been better than I think a lot of us expected. But still, the fact of the matter is that team, with him and without him, are drastically different. And we could say the same thing for Giannis, and even when Giannis hasn't played to the standard that he has these last 10 games, they've struggled. But the high and the low, the difference there for this Nuggets team, with and without Jokic, is...
They quite literally go from the best offense in the NBA to not just the worst offense in the NBA this season, the worst offense in NBA history without Jokic on the floor. History! Not the season.
No.
NBA history without Jokic.
It's really incredible the amount of impact that he can have on. And the thing is, we talk about it a lot with a lot of players, and we'll say, oh, they're a very good player, but we don't know how they impact winning. Jokic hits both buckets. He impacts. He's a great player, and he impacts winning. Without him, they very likely will lose games.
In 10 years, here's his resume already. 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Six-time All-Star, NBA champion, six-time All-NBA, All-Rookie, three-time MVP, three-time MVP, Western Conference Finals MVP, Finals MVP. If he retired right now, he'd be one of the best players we've ever seen. He'd be in the top 15.
Oh, yeah.
I'm telling you.
He'd have to be.
When he gets that fourth MVP, and he will if he continues this, unless he gets hurt, where, to be honest, I don't see Nikola Jokic getting hurt. It's not like he's doing much high-flying or moving around. That's what's so phenomenal about it. When you watch him play basketball, he's a maestro. He is somehow able to control everything on the basketball court without really moving. And then it's like he's reluctant to shoot the ball. What's so funny is that when the season began, he wasn't shooting the ball at a high rate. Now he's shooting at the highest rate of his career because he kind of has to. And he's like, oh, I guess I'll do this. And I guess I'll shoot 50% from three as a seven-footer. What the hell?
It's like he had some new mental clarity just hit him. While he was, so for what it's worth, he missed a couple games in there, not due to injury. It was due to, you know, off-court personal reasons. I want to say he was expecting his first child. And it's like in that time, he gained this clarity, like, wow, without me, this team's really bad.
I think he knew that already.
I think he probably already knew it, but he just needed, you know, he had to take a step back and look at it from, you know, bird's eye view, from away from the court. And now he's like, wow, they're really horrible when I'm not on the court. I have to do something about this.
Conversations will be had soon about an all-time ranking with Nikola Jokic. They've already begun. If he wins his fourth MVP, he'll be in the same area as Wilt Chamberlain, LeBron James, they have four, Bill Russell, Michael Jordan at five. An unbelievable list to be on. Now, real quick before we close up the show, Jason Kelsey said something today on their podcast. He said that Die Hard wasn't a Christmas movie. Can we stop this, please? Can we stop this, please? The whole reason he's there in the movie is for a Christmas party. It's all focused around Christmas. The reason they hit it at that time is because they know that it's a Christmas party. We got to stop doing this Die Hard isn't a Christmas movie thing, y'all. It is a Christmas movie. Ho, ho, ho. It's one of the catchphrases from the movie. I'm tired of it. Jason Kelsey, I lost some respect for you, brother. It hurt my heart, but I can't trust you anymore saying that it's not a Christmas movie. I mean, it's not as bad as Bill Simmons saying that Home Alone isn't a Christmas movie. That's blasphemy. Blasphemy. Die Hard, Christmas movie, please. Absolutely. That's going to be it for the Gabe Kuhn Show this week, though. Thank you so much for sticking around with me. I want to thank my guests, Eric Hasseltine and Lee Sterling. I want to thank you, George. Find George on Twitter at George, KingGeorge94, at KingGeorge94. I'm going to be back with you same time, same place next week, next Monday, 4 o'clock. We'll be here. This is Connor Dunning on the Gabe Kuhn Show. Peace.